नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण बिष्टाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्ति विराट स्वामिनिति नामे नमस्ते सारी देवी गौरवाणी नीव से सन्यवाणी लस्कृत्यादि सतायने जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौभक्त वृंद सप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषाभानु सुधे देवी परमामि हरि प्रिय हे कृष्ण कर्ण सिंधु दीन द्वंद्व जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कंत राध कंत नमस्ते भजामि राधम अरविंद नेत्रम स्मरामि राधम करुणा मरुरास्मितास्यम वदामि राधम करुणापरायणम ततो ममान्यस्ति गतिर्न क्वापि ओ कृष्ण कृष्ण शीनुता कृपया हंता प्रनिशयो प्रणायुधुरा किमपि यदयं दिना प्राणिनिवे दायतिक्षानं प्रावनितमना किं युष्मभिस्ममं समं तिलम् अप्यसो युगपतनयो सेवाम युगपतनयो सेवाम प्रेम्णा कदापि विदास्यति We are reading this beautiful last composition of Srila Rupa Goswami. We are driven by two almost incompatible emotions. He comes into the forest of Vrindavan crying with his hands above his head, his tongue clenched between the two rows of teeth, crying for mercy. He will now address Shri Shri Radha Govinda's maidservants. He says, O beloved maidservants of the masters of my life, Shri Shri Radha Govinda, you are completely intoxicated with prema. Please lend your ear for a moment to hear the slowly dasi's humble request. For one moment, give me your ear. Will I ever be able to serve the divine couple's lotus feet alongside with you, even if only briefly? So he says, O beloved maidservants of the masters of my life, Shri Shri Radha Govinda, all of you, please hear me out. So that an answer comes from the spiritual world. The Manjaris speak, What do you want? Hear this fallen Dasi's request. The Manjaris repeat, But what is your request? And Rupa Goswami replies, This miserable Dasi is humbly asking if ever, for even a moment, she might engage in the loving service of Shri Shri Radha Govinda together with all of you. This was the commentary of Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana. So, Rupa Goswami has said in Sanskrit, Samang Tilam Apyaso. Can I ever be, Tila is a sesame seed, can I actually be a sesame seed in comparison to you? It's almost like if I ask Sharangatakur, can I ever even managed to be a dust from your feet, you know, a small dust of feet. In comparison to you, I'm just so small that I'm not sure if I can even compare myself to the dust from your feet. I know you don't feel very happy with this analogy, but this is what he says. You are completely intoxicated with prema, and I'm making this request. We are so different, you know. I'm not even up to your foot dust. I'm so low, but please, still, I have this request. Will I ever be able to be just to serve together with you in the spiritual world? So these are two almost conflicting desires. On one hand, the devotee feels himself so low that he feels I can't even be compared with the sesame of your qualities. But yet, on the other hand, almost unvereinbar, I don't know the English word for unvereinbar, it's almost cannot be brought together. There is a great hope. This is bhakti. Dainyam, you feel so low, but you have a great, great hope. See, without feeling humble, and humbled, you really never get the idea that there is a need for you to surrender. Do you follow this subtle point? If you don't feel yourself as someone very incapable, then you will not call out with a desire to surrender. It will not come from your tongue. It may come from your tongue, but it doesn't come from your heart. Because if you think you have good qualities, well, is there a need to just throw yourself on the dust? Is there such a need? So humility is really the driving power in bhakti, which drives you to Sharanagati, to surrender. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you must be humble as a straw in the grass and tolerant as a tree. When the tree is tolerant in two ways, he says. When he is cut, he doesn't protest. When he needs water in the dry midday sun of India, he doesn't demand water. So a devotee is tolerant in two ways. He doesn't protest when he is slighted, and he does not demand things for his own need. It's amazing, isn't it? That is the idea of this comparison. And he's ready to give respect to others. I have heard in Dandavat Parikrama, when you circumambulate Giriraj with your prostrations, everyone really wants to see if you are humble. Sometimes the boys come and beat you to see if you are really humble. Or today we had to go through the monkeys, and one Indian smilingly, you know, we were in the midst of everything, smilingly was feeding the monkeys who were jumping all over us. And I remember how Ananda Chaitanya, who was just coming behind me, said, "Ach ja," you know, and you couldn't believe the insensitivity of the Indian. And I thought, he still needs a lesson in humility, Ananda Chaitanya. Because when the monkeys see that you are humble, they leave you alone. Have you noticed? There's no danger. They don't even make their funny, aggressive faces on you. So Krishna wants to see if you are humble. And the way he checks you, now listen to this. Everyone can say, "I'm so humble," and can bow down. But the way he checks you is by giving you situations to which you either respond with a feeling of an upraised feeling, ein aufgebrachtes Gefühl, or when you are humble, you just tolerate it. Humility, I have seen this with many of my disciples and previous disciples, you can play it and you can deceive others and yourself, but what you can't do is you can't deceive or cheat on tolerance. You can see if someone is truly humble if he is able to tolerate. Many people who are, you know, it's chic to be humble in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but they are not able to tolerate others' opinions, they become so like angry cobras when they hear another opinion, and so on. They're not yet tolerant. They're not really humble. They are just chic. Shikariya, humble Shikariya. So Rupa Goswami is here coming with this earnest request. He was very humble. He said, "I can't compare myself to you. You are so high and I'm so low, but I still have this hope burning in my heart. And this is really good." Now, Narottam Das Thakur describes a little bit what it will mean when the devotee is brought into the audience of Radha and Krishna. He says, "When will my master Lokanath Goswami take me along and submit me to Rupa Manjari?" You know, this is what he says. "When will my spiritual master take me with him and give me to the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari? And when will Rupa Manjari call me? Quickly, you newcomer, you new maidservant, come here. Get your paraphernalia for seva. Then I will take a jewel plate made of jewels, and I will put a golden pot there, golden pitcher for washing the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and other articles I will take, and I will stand behind Rupa Manjari. Radha Krishna will look at me. Oh, here's someone behind Rupa Goswami. Who is this?" They asked Rupa Manjari, "Where did you get this new maidservant from?" And then Rupa Manjari would say, "Well, Manjulali, that's the spiritual identity of Lokanath Goswami in the spiritual world, gave me this very nice little girl. I found her to be very humble and very qualified. And therefore, I'm now engaging it. So then, it is described. Oops. You need an introduction by Srila. You need an introduction to the divine couple by one of the Manjaris. Rupa Manjari is our first choice, and then Rupa Manjari will introduce you to the divine couple. Sometimes she also goes over Lalita. Lalita is her group leader, Rupa Manjari's group leader, and then Lalita will bring the new girl, to newcomer, to Radha and Krishna. This is such an important point. While you're here in this world, you serve Rupa Goswami by following his instructions in his main book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But you know, Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami has this identity as Rupa Manjari, and you are trying to understand what Rupa Manjari or how she serves in relationship to the divine couple. This is how Gaudiya Vaishnavism works. You do practical service with your body and your mind in this world according to the rules set down by Rupa Goswami, and you also try to cultivate your inner life, your inner relationship, which is a relationship which will take place in a spiritual identity. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at the time of his departure, you might have heard, he he wanted two songs to be sung. One was Sri Rupa Manjari. It is a song of Narottam Das Thakur. When Narottam Das Thakur sings about the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari and says how the light from the lotus feet will illuminate the heart. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted his consciousness to be directed by this song to Rupa Manjari, the one who introduces us to Radha and Krishna. And he had another song. I can tell you the translation. In the other song, he sang, in your holy name you have invested all your potency, but I, foolish as I am, or unfortunate as I am, have not yet managed to develop my attraction to the holy name. That, and when he sang, or when the singer sang, I have not developed my attraction, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, on his deathbed, clenched his fists, and tears were rolling down his cheeks. He was crying so much, I have not developed my attraction. If someone has attraction, it's him. He chanted 3 lakhs of names. Can you imagine how much this is? 190. I always forget the exact number because it's just so much. 190 and something around. He definitely had attraction to the holy name, but he felt it's not enough taste. So these were the two songs. I want to come to the first song. This Sri Rupa Manjari is a very, very important personality, a spiritual personality who is introducing us to Radha and Krishna. And, you know, we are, when we first meet Radha and Krishna, we come there with either Rupa Manjari or Lalita Sakhi. And can you imagine that first meeting is very, very significant. I read one song where the meeting is described that the devotee just doesn't know where to direct his attention. Both are so extremely compassionate and beautiful that the devotee runs to the lotus feet of Radha, but then sees the lotus feet of Krishna, then the lotus feet of Radha, is totally overwhelmed by the beauty of these two sets of lotus feet. Radha and Krishna smile all the time and say, where is she? Where does she come from? And they don't mean from Switzerland or from Bosnia or from Croatia or Germany. They want to know from what spiritual connection do they come? Huh? That is, who through whom did they come? Who is their lineage? So this is, you can now understand why the Manjaris are so absolutely important, because they will introduce us. In this way, will bring us there. So I want to now read to you the next verse, which is very, very nice also. Kva jano yang ativa parama kva durabam rati bhagibi apyada yam ulayat yachara jara guru tasha duratata pimam. Where am I? A wretched in Deutsch, durch und durch verrucht, and helpless maidservant, compared with the exalted devotees in whom divine love has already sprouted, knowing that even for them this prema seva is extremely rare. For a maidservant like me, it will be next to impossible to attain. Still, an intense and unabating thirst for it leaves me delirious. Ich bin wie im Schwindel. So, Rupa Goswami says, what is the likelihood for this fallen and weak maidservant to receive that fortunate service when it is even difficult for premi devotees to attain that? For a dasi, the likes of myself, such an opportunity is extremely unusual. Nonetheless, severe thirst for it robs me of my composure. So, can you kindly describe your thirst a little bit clearer? Yes, I have an insatiable thirst. It's always fresh. It's always new. It can never be stop the thirst. The essence is that this great thirst appears in ever fresh and new ways. So here is a very, very important point. I already brought this out a little bit before, this two feelings in a devotee, to feel very unqualified on one's ascent, but full of hope on the other. This is a very, very important thing. See, Most of you don't have spiritual desires. You are so much in your own little worlds. That you don't pursue a spiritual desire steadily, regularly, and daily. And that is why you are on the stages where you are. This Ashabandha, bound by hope, this is very important. You should allow that your heart gets stolen into this. You should not stifle that desire. You should speak about it with dear devotee friends. I have this desire. What do you think? You should nourish and feed this desire by hearing more about the goal of your spiritual life and the sublime qualities of the real life. You should really give food to this spiritual desire by regular studying of scriptures like the Bhagavatam, especially coming to the 10th canto, where the pastimes of the Lord are described, so that you actually desire very strongly to be part of this real life. Prabhupada, he says in the Gita, a devotee should be inspired by this hope, by this possibility to go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, Sharangataku, there will be material desires coming in your heart. If you don't have spiritual desires, you are overwhelmed by material desires. It is to... Let us hear a little bit of devotees who have such desires for Krishna. Let us hear about Radharani and the Sakis when they feel separated from Krishna. Jiva Goswami describes when Radharani and the Sakis feel separated from Krishna, they feel like fawns surrounded by a raging forest fire. Do you know what is a fawn? Fawn is a child of a deer. Rehkitzchen, sagt man in Deutsch. Yes, you know what it is? A child of the deer. Small deer. Frightened. The forest fire is around me. This is how devotees who feel separated from Krishna feel this world. It's a raging forest fire. Can you enjoy things in the forest fire? Oh, there's this nice tree, this nice meadow, this nice little house, shelter. No. They feel like chakori birds who drink moonlight. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And another comparison, this is from Jiva Goswami. I read this in the Gopal Champu. They feel like vines, Schlingpflanzen, who lost their hold of the supporting trees. When a vine has vine, eine Schlingpflanze, doesn't have the supporting tree, it falls on the ground and has to crawl on the ground. These supermost devotees feel like fishes out of water when they are not with Krishna, or like uprooted lotus flowers. They can't grow, they can't get nourishment. So the real devotee of Krishna has to start to feel some desire for Krishna. That, oh Krishna, you can only save me. Oh Radha, without you, my life is hopeless. This hope sometimes gives a devotee pain because he feels, what is the reality of this hope being fulfilled? Because remember, he feels so humble. Sanatana Goswami wrote one verse which is quoted by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, "O lover of the gopis, I have no love for you. I have no firmly established spiritual practices like hearing and chanting. I have no Vaishnava yoga meditation." Apparently there was something in old times. Yeah, sometimes Goswami teaches pranayama for, and so I don't have, I can't concentrate. I have no knowledge. I have never done any auspicious activities like good deity worship. I don't even come from a good family. But you are known to be benevolent, means kind, to the low and unqualified. Alas, what should I do now? So it is this hope which Radha and Krishna see. There's a little Sadaka. He has gone to the Jamuna. He's on one of the paths which Srimati Radharani goes. He sits there with the hope to one day serve as a servant of Radharani, the divine couple. And Radha sees this maidservant sitting every day on that path. And one day reveals herself in a web and takes this maidservant. And the maidservant then sits on the terrace or inside the divine couple meet, and Radha and Krishna are engaged in loving pastimes, and at the end Krishna's crown has fallen from his head. Narada thinks, I would so much love to give him a peacock feather crown which my servants have done under my instructions. This Samgunya berry. So the little maid servant looks inside and says, "Oh, Krishna has no peacock feather crown. It has fallen. It has been destroyed completely." And she runs into the forest of Vrindavan and picks peacock feathers and arranges a handmade peacock feather crown. Look very artistic. And then she thinks, but we need to decorate this crown a little. And she picks these gunja berries. Our Giriraj has a garland of gunja berries. They are red and they have a black dot. Black and white dot. He might keep her. And she puts the gunja berries in the crown of Krishna. So at this moment, Radharani comes out of the kunja, and she says, thinking, from where do I get this crown for Krishna? And she runs, then this little Manjari comes running with exactly the right crown decorated with gunja berries. And immediately she gives this crown to Radharani, and Radharani thinks, wow, this Manjari is just so wonderful. I must reward her. I must give her some present. And this is happening when you are very much in love with your master, or when you are in love, your thoughts become identical with the other person's thought. Have you ever had a good friend in your life? And you might have said a sentence and the friend has completed the sentence. Did you have this in your life? Because you are on the same wavelength somehow. You think identical. You think the same. So the Manjari thinks not in all aspects. Radharani is the supreme lover of Krishna. And there's only one Radha, but in some aspects, because she's so focused on Radha, exactly like Radha thinks, and therefore, when Radha opens the door to the bower, the Manjari already has the peacock feather crown with the Gunja berry and gives it. Already there. Okay. It's done. Finished. Self-made. This is the amazing closeness which the Manjaris have to Srimati Radharani. And this type of closeness, you know, if you love, you want to be close to the person you love. Is that natural, I think. So these Manjaris always want to be close to Radharani. And they feel like little deers in the forest, which is blazing with a fire. They can't find anything enjoyable in this world. Now this hope, I want to say, this asha, it does only come if you sit near to devotees who have this hope. It's like Uddhava says this. He says, saints are like a fire in the night. When you come near to the fire in the night, first thing is you start to see. Have you ever been in a dark night and come to a fire? You see the fire in the distance, and as you approach the fire, you see. I've sometimes seen this in Govardhan Parikrama, when there's power cut and some Brijvasis have a small little fire to warm their hands. Then you come close and you start to see the road really good. Previously it was not seen by you, but now this happens when you come in contact with the devotees. You first start to see a little bit better. Then, as you come closer, you feel the warmth of the fire. Ooh. And you also want to sit down with the Brijvasis and warm your fingers. So, when you are coming closer to the devotees, you feel the warmth of their hearts, their bhava, their emotions. And then there's a last result which Uddhava describes, which I don't remember very clearly. I think it's your misery is destroyed. Just like a person who was freezing gets now some warmth. So yes, these are the qualities of this is where you can get this hope and this desire from. You have to associate with the devotees who have this. Just like someone who has lost his vision and feels cold must come close to the fire to get vision and warmth. There is something else which I wrote down here. Yes, I would like to again make the point knowing that even for the great devotees this direct service to Radharani is extremely rare. I just don't know how I can make such a request. Still, an intense and unabating thirst for it leaves me almost delirious. And I wanted to tell you one little leela about Radha and Krishna's maidservants. Srimati Radharani at one stage was once waiting for Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. But Krishna is late. Radha gets impatient and her Manjaris begin to, in German language you say, swarm out. They have to look for Krishna and see if they can find him. So one little Manjari sees how Krishna is coming through the forest real fast, and he looks really distressed because he knows he's late and he wants to meet Radha, but he has no idea where she is at this moment. So the little Manjari meets Krishna and wants to increase his eagerness for Radharani. This is one of the services which the Manjaris do. They mediate, vermitteln, between the divine couple and arrange meetings between them. So Krishna comes with this expression, "Oh, I see you now, a servant of Radharani. Your mistress must be quite close." The Manjari says, "No. I have bad news for you. Today Jatila saw how Srimati Radharani mistook water for jokhurt and started to churn the water to get butter from the water." So Jatila thought, where is the mind of my Radha? She should know that from water you can't make butter. You can only do this from yogurt. She should know what is yogurt looking like. Where is the mind? This mind of Radha must be stolen by Krishna. I know for sure. Ah, da haben wir es wieder. So therefore she forbade Radha to leave the house. So today you will not be able to see Radha. Ah, said Krishna, but I know she should be here, and we heard about this in the past. I can smell the fragrance of my Radha in the air. See, we Manjaris only dress in the leftover garments from Radha. So I have this leftover garment and it still carries the excellent fragrance of my Radha. She won't come. Shyam Sundar, you are in a very bad situation. So in this, while this is going on, Srimati Radharani is waiting for Krishna, and all of a sudden the wind of Vrindavan carries the fragrance of Radharani to the waiting, the fragrance of Krishna to the waiting Radharani. And Radharani plays, "Oh, Gandavahana, vehicle of smell." This is how she addresses the wind, as if the wind is a living person. "What austerities did you do to carry the fragrance of Radha, of Krishna? Tell these austerities to me so that I can also carry the fragrance of Krishna." In love, you actually think the inanimate things, things which don't live, to be persons. In this world, I only know this when I'm in anger. I took once Ananda Chaitanya's new mobile phone and it did not work twice. And I thought, you foolish new mobile phone, I addressed it as a person. If you do this one more time, you just don't work, then I will throw you out of the car. You know, I felt like this. I felt highly critical of the mobile telephone of Ananda Chaitanya because I thought it was in that high emotion. I wanted to make this phone call. It always cut. Chup, chup, chup. After 2 minutes, and I finally thought it's like a person. Do you also know this? Do you address sometimes your computer like, you fool? I will not give you food. We think it's a person, but it's not. So in the spiritual world, out of love, you think dead things or inanimate things like the wind is a person, and you pray to the wind, or Radharani prays to the wind. Please, Vinji, Gandavahana. Tell me your austerities. So then finally the Manjari says to Syamasundar, hey Syamasundar, don't get so sad. Actually, I just wanted to increase your qualification by making you more eager. Radha is just nearby. And she brings Radha, Slava, Syamasundar to Shrimati Radhika. So at this moment, the maidservant becomes the object of mercy of Radha, who is finally attaining Krishna, and of Krishna, whom this maidservant has brought to Radharani. And Radharani thinks, how can I reward this maidservant? Then a very confidential exchange happens. Krishna offers some of the betel nut which he has chewed to Radharani, and Radharani spits it on the leaf, saying, "Phew! How can I eat this betel nut which was in your mouth?" Secretly, she hands that remnant of Krishna to the maidservant, who joyfully eats it. You can imagine the prasadam of Krishna, which is touched by Krishna's lotus lips, has such potency. In Jagannath Puri, when you eat Mahaprasad, which has been touched by Lord Jagannath, you will surely get love of Godhead. Have you done this, Sharangatapa? Then there's hope for you. Now imagine Krishna, Braj Krishna, chewing on Tambul. Oof, and you somehow, it comes in the mouth of Radha, and Radha spits it on a leaf for you. Whoa! This is the best. There's nothing better. And this is the reward which Radharani keeps for this little Manjari. This is all very nicely expressed, and this is why Rupa Goswami says, I cannot imagine that I get this position of being such a close servant who is part of these leelas which even the greatest of mystics have no chance to even understand. See, as we heard before. We are bound, conditioned souls who are totally in the hands of Maya, totally under the control of our own desires and of our own karma. How can we ever hope such exalted hopes? It's almost like I'm a poor man. If I now start hoping for $1 billion, you know, how will I obtain this? But at the same time, you should desire it. Think yourself poor, but desire the highest. And how can this desire be fulfilled? Well, it's only because Krishna and Radharani have hearts which are deep, deep lakes of compassion. And when these hearts become agitated by your eagerness, then there are waves on these lakes which flood in your direction. I think really what we need to drink from the cup of eagerness every day. And for that we should discuss with each other about our spiritual aspirations. We should wake up from this half-dead state of life where we just don't care for Krishna, where we don't care for Radharani, where we, especially at Radhakund, where everything is so much pervaded with Radharani's presence. I mean, Mahanidhi Maharaj once told me that he thinks that there are two merciful forms of the Lord. One is the holy name, which Krishna has left for us in this world, and the second is Radhakund, which Radharani has left for us. And we should immerse ourselves in best is in the two of these merciful manifestations. I know one of our devotees takes every day a part of Radhakund. Very good. Maybe there's some hope. I have found in my life that I have somehow faith in the holy name. I don't know the books very well. I'm not a very austere person. I'm very creative. But I feel I have some hope. I have one thing which is good. I have some faith in the Holy Name. Some, a little. And I'm investing on this because whatever you have faith in, that you can increase. I think all of us should invest in an article where we have faith, Sebastian. And we should build on that. Where is it where you have faith and that you should build your life on? The house of our Krishna consciousness will be built on the fundament of our faith. Krishna.